Okay, Daf Samach, we're starting the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Testament Bay. Says the Mishnah, more halachas of Oinoa, really more halachas of Mekach u'Memker. It's very interesting to pay attention as we're learning through these Mishnayos. Do we consider Chazal to be capitalists or communists? How do we look at Chazal in terms of the halachas? And you'll see it falls somewhere in the middle. Some halachas we see, oh, that's very capitalistic. Some halachas we're like, oh, they seem to be more putting restrictions on open and free markets. Let's take a look. Says the Mishnah, Ein ma'arvin peiris peperis. So according to Rashi learns, this is someone makes a deal with you to buy fruits from a certain field that you have. So you're not allowed to mix fruits from another field. So even though they're the same quality, says the Mishnah, afilu chadoshim bechadoshim, even though the fruits you're giving them are the same quality, but lemaisa in the contract or the agreement, it was from a specific field, Rashi says you're not allowed to give it to him from a different field. Maybe he doesn't like that field, maybe it's a little different than what he wants, whatever it is, even though it's the same quality, you're still not allowed to. Ve'ein tzorech leimer chadoshim yishonim, says the Mishnah on top. For sure, if you're giving him new crops, so here we're talking about crops that you're going to be turning into flour, grains, and stuff like that, so the older it is, the drier it is, the better it is to make it into flour. So therefore, the way Rashi learns over here, so if you make a deal to give him older crops and you give him new crops, that would be usur. Now, however, Rashi learns, based on the next line in the Mishnah, if it was the opposite, if the deal was to give him new stuff and you gave him old stuff, which is better quality, that you're allowed to do. So even from a different field, same quality or lesser quality, not allowed to. Better quality, by Rashi and Zasur, you are allowed to. And Biyama Samru, and the truth is, the Mishnah says, which we'll see, Biyama Samru means that we paskin like this, Biyayin Hitiru, La'arif koshe berach. If you make a deal to give him what they call rach wine, and you're giving him koshe wine, which is again better quality, you're always allowed to give. Worse or the same, or same from a different field or something, that you're not allowed to. But if it's better, you are. The Mefarshim don't like Rashi's pshat, then why does the Mishnah switch between crops and wine? It's really all the same. Halachically, Rashi learns it, that if it's better, it's fine. If it's not, it's not. So it's not clear why, according to Rashi, it switches in the case, but that's the halacha that Rashi says. Because you're giving him better than you agreed. Another halacha says the Mishnah, Ein ma'arvin shmarei yayin b'yayin. You're not allowed to put the dregs of the wine into the barrel of wine. It's taking up space, l'chayra. But that's l'chayra what it's saying. The Gemara is going to change the pshat here. Of a nice and layish shmarev. But you could give him the dregs from the wine that he bought. So there seems to be a steer in Aobay. First halacha said, you're not allowed to give him the dregs. Next halacha says, you do give him the dregs. Hold on, the Gemara will explain what it means. Mishnah is arv mayim b'yayin. If you have wine that got diluted, so you have at home, loyim karenu bechanus. So you're not allowed to sell that in the store as regular wine. Elam kein idea, right? If you put up a sign, this is, you know, Cabernet Sauvignon diluted, that's fine. But if you're just trying to sell it as a beautiful Merlot and it's actually diluted, you're saving money that way, of course, that'll be usur. And veloy letager afubish idea. If you're selling this diluted wine to a wholesaler, even if you tell him, you're still getting a joke. She'ein el la ramais boy. Clearly, a wholesaler is buying diluted wine. Wine cheaper, right? Like diluted gas they sell over here and stuff like that, so that you can sell it on to somebody else. Makam shnagul hatamayim biyayin yatilu. If the minig makam is to dilute the wine, so then everybody knows it's diluted. Then it's fine. You can dilute it. But if you're going above and beyond the normal, we'll see what that is in the Gemara. That would be usur. Hatagar noitel mehe grunas. So if you have a wholesaler, so the assumption is that a wholesaler is gathering crops from many different places. He's not only selling from one supplier. So he's allowed to buy from five suppliers, and put it all into his storage, and then he just sells you out of that storage. He doesn't have to tell you exactly where he sourced it from. Magura achas mehe gitais. He's allowed to buy wine from five different vineyards. Argir says pitom. It should be pitos. It's a Greek word. Apparently, it's a giant barrel, and he's allowed to mix it all together. Obviously, he's not allowed to do it in a way where he's buying like 80% good wine, 20% bad wine, and then using that, not diluting it with water, but diluting it with worse wine. That will be no good. Again, depends on the nature of what you buy. Nowadays, where all our wine is labeled, and you can buy, there's a wine called Four Vats, right, which tells you up front that this came from four different things. You can buy, like, you know, these Shiraz mixed with a little bit of Merlot, and it has to, by law, it has to say the percentage of each one. So if it tells you up front, it is what it is. That's fine. But if not, then you're not allowed to dilute it with other wines, or of course not with water.
For sure, if the new, we're talking about going back to the first halach in the Mishnah,
well, you're not allowed to mix the new crops in with the old crops. The old crops are better. So for sure, when the new crops are four
four units per 100, per 100 shekel, just as an example. So therefore, they're cheap. V'yishanos mishalos, and the older crops are more expensive, right? They're 3 for 100, so they're 33 shekel or whatever it is, a unit. So then you're by putting in the new stuff, you're trying to save money. That's also. Dein marvin. Elafidu chadosos mishalos v'yishanos mi'arba. Even if you come to a situation where the new crops are actually worth more than the old crops. So you might think, I'm allowed to give him now the new crops because it's more expensive anyways. So I'm allowed to give it to him. No. Why? Rashi says an interesting chat in this Gemara. Rashi is really new crops are worse than old crops. And really people would normally pay more for the older crops. They age and they make better flour. But sometimes people want to age the crop themselves. They want to dry it in a certain way and therefore they prefer to buy new stuff so that they can put it in their own dehumidifier or age or whatever it is they do over there to turn it into old. And therefore, they're willing to pay more for Chadash. Not because the Chadash is better. It's just there's a bigger supply and demand for the Chadash because people want to do it themselves. But actually, the older crops are actually better for making flour. And therefore, you're not allowed to mix the Chadash in, even if it's more expensive. Because we're focusing on the quality of the crop, not necessarily the price. Next halacha, we said be'emes amru b'yayin etir la'arif kosher barach le'ishim mashpich. Amar b'lazer, ado amru, we learned, kol be'emes amru halachi. Whenever it says in the Mishnah, be'emes amru, it's telling you that's the final halacha, there's no machlokes about it. Amar of Nachman, ubein agitoish shanu. This is only if you mix it up while they're still in the barrels. Once you bottle it, then you can't go ahead and start mixing things. Because once it's in the barrel, it still has an opportunity for it to change its flavor and to become a good flavor. Once it's already after the barrels and is ready in the bottle stage, now you start mixing bottles, then you're going to end up with a mess of wine, and that's not a good thing. But, nowadays they do that. Says in those days already, even after it was bottled and put into little jugs, they would mix it up together. Because everybody knows you're doing it. Like we said, if it's labeled that way, and everybody knows, and everybody agrees, that's going to be fine. Rav Acha b'Dervika Amar, a slightly different shot. Hamani Rav Acha, this goes according to Rav Acha that says you can mix it up and that later. The sign Rav Acha Mati b'Dover Hanitam. Right, many times you go into a store and they have a tasting. So if they have a tasting, then it doesn't even have to be labeled, and it doesn't make a difference what you did. If the person tastes it before he buys it, then he agreed to whatever the taste is. He can't come back later and say it was no good. Now we get to the next line in the Mishnah. It says, "Me'ein ma'arvin shmari yayin b'yayin v'noislai shmar." It says it makes no sense. V'amrit reisha ein ma'arvin. It says you're not allowed to mix in the dregs into the wine. And the next halacha says you could mix in the dregs into the wine. V'chitema, maybe you'll say it means like this. My, what does it mean when it says, V'chitema, my oval, noislai shmarav, means to kamoy delay. Really, you're not allowed to mix the dregs in. But if you tell him you're mixing the dregs in, that's okay. Maybe that's what the Mishnah means. It can't be. Hamiliktani say it because the next line of the Mishnah says, Loim kren b'chanoselim k'maydiya, you're not allowed to sell the diluted wine unless you tell him. V'lay the tagra afa b'shmaydiya, you're not allowed to sell to a wholesale even if you do tell him. Michal d'reisha afakav loim adiyalay. Mashma, the previous halacha about dregs in the wine has nothing to do with telling him or not telling him. So again, how do you go back and read that line of the Mishnah? You're not allowed to mix yesterday's dregs into today's wine. And add today's into yesterday's. Rashi says nothing to do with today and yesterday. It has to do with different barrels. Each barrel has a slightly different flavor. And then for each barrel, the dregs, the junk at the bottom, has a slightly different flavor. So if you want to sell them the barrel wine with its dregs, that's fine. That's what we had in the Gemara earlier. There's a certain amount that you're allowed to have in there. You're not allowed to add an extra, but a certain amount of normal to have, you're allowed to have. But to start mixing dregs from one barrel to another, or from yesterday's to today's, is going to ruin the flavor of it. So it's not a question of cheating on the space of the wine, it's a question of ruining the flavor that you're not allowed to do.
Is that more like an aging process?
I guess so. Yeah, it's aging and has different flavor, right? Every barrel has a slightly different, I'm not a connoisseur, but if you're a connoisseur, you could tell me, oh, this barrel, it's all Cabernet. No, it's not. This is from the right side of the mountain facing the sun, and this is from the left side of the mountain that's getting more shade. I don't know. These things, apparently they can tell these kind of things. So nice and lay of a nice shmarov from the barrel that you're selling him. Tanya Namiyachib Yudaimer, Hashefe Yayin the Chaver. Shefe Rashi is a lashon when you're pouring liquid out of a barrel and you want to keep the dregs in and you pour it slowly so all the liquid comes out, that's called shofer. Shofer. Yayin the Chaver. Is it loya ayav shal emish b'shal yoyim v'loy shal yoyim b'shal emish? You know, I'm accept today's wine with yesterday's dregs, etc. Of a ma'ayav shal emish b'shal emish b'shal yoyim b'shal yoyim. But if you want to do yesterday's with yesterday's or today with today's, and again, Rashi stresses, it has nothing to do with the day. It has to do with the barrel from its own dregs. That you're allowed to do.
Listen to this story. Rava isolated chamer michanusa. So Rava bought, he ordered some wine, and they delivered him some wine. Mazge, he diluted it the way every person has, we'll see, the Gemara has a certain recipe for their own diluting of the wine. Rava diluted the wine. And then, Tome, he tasted it. Lohavi basim. Didn't taste good to him. Not the dilution that he did, but the actual core wine he felt did not have the proper flavor. So Shadre lechanusa, he returned it. I don't know, you could return diluted wine that you already tasted. I'm not sure you could do that nowadays. But Rava was able to do that. So Amalei Abaya said, assuming the store is willing to take it back from you, but you're giving them back diluted wine. You're selling a store diluted wine. So Amalei Vanan Tanai V'Loi D'Tagim Afal Pishay Di'ai. You're not allowed to sell it back to a wholesaler who's going to sell it on, because it's Lifne'iver, Rashi says. You're causing him to take wine that's diluted and sell it on to that person. Now whether this is really Lifne'iver or not, you can debate, because Lifne'iver is only when he needs you to do the Avera. Here he doesn't need you to do the Avera. Anybody can dilute their own wine and try to get away with this. It's not really Lifne'iver, but it's like Lifne'iver, Rashi says. So it's apparently the storekeeper knew. So apparently the storekeeper knew. Storekeeper, we'll see in a second. Rava was famous for his dilution recipe. So apparently the storekeeper knew. But when you sell it on to the next guy, Lavdafka. Amalei Mazged Idi Meidi Oda. Rava says, my dilution is so diluted well and diluted in a certain way that even if he tries to sell it, whoever buys it will know right away it's diluted. Maybe they can see it, maybe they can taste it, and therefore he'll never be able to do anything with it that is illicit. So maybe you'll say, what? No big deal. So Rava dilutes it three parts water. And that people can tell. So maybe the guy will take his three parts water and add a little bit of wine into it, and that will be two parts water, and you won't be able to taste it. So Rava's still helping him cheat the public. She says, Imkain, and the Devar Saif. As Rashi says, then you're not allowed to sell a merchant water. Right, how can you sell a merchant water, wine merchant water? He's going to take that water and dilute. Obviously, you don't say that far. It's called Lifne'iver. Right? Lifne'iver is only when you actually are giving him something that's bad. That fact that you're giving him an ingredient that he maybe could use to cheat somebody, that already we don't go so far, and that would not be a problem with Lifne'iver. Makam Shinakulatamayim Beyayin Yatilu says the Gemara Tana, Lemechza L'shtish Revia. At some places they diluted half wine, half water. Some of it was a third. Some of it was a quarter. Amarav again, Ubena Gita Shanut. This is only in the barrel stage. Once it's in the wine stage, in the bottle stage, or the jug stage, then you're not going to be diluting it anymore. That apparently ruins the flavor. Says the Mishnah, more halachas amechem humemcher. B'yudaymer layechalek hachenveni kliyos ve'egoizim litinaikas. You're not allowed to put out a little stand with candies in front of your store. Why? You're getting the kids, and then their fathers probably, to come shop in your shop. And it's not clear, you'll see in the Gemara why I'm saying this, it's not clear if the issue is that you're cheating the father by getting him to come into the store, and really you're not selling the best goods, you just have to have the best lollipops out in front. Or is the issue more of a mekach memcher issue between the different stores? You'll see why I say that in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda, so the reader says you're not allowed to. The Chum Matirim, Chum say no, you're allowed to put out candies in front of your store. The Gemara will explain what the issue is. Another halacha says the Mishnah, well, Yifchus is a shah, right? This is a tough one. You're not allowed to have a sale. You're not allowed to make a sale, right? We'll see much more in Ezra and Yashech. There was a time during the year when they set a fixed price for the crops, based on different qualities, of course, but you're not allowed to put things on sale. You're not allowed to say, oh, 10% off. You're not allowed. That's affecting the market negatively. Yeah. The Chama Maimim Zachar the Toiv. Here the Chama said, not only is it a good, not only is it okay, but it's a good thing. Right? The first halacha they said, Mutter. Here they're saying, Zachar the Toiv. Why? The Gemara will explain what this lashon is. And another halacha. Lo Yivor Esa Grisin. So they had these kind of nuts or beans that had like a shell around them. Okay, so obviously you pay a certain amount for the weight, and it includes the shell. Okay, so you say, you know what? I'm going to take off the shells. Now, the shells don't weigh much, apparently. And all it's really doing when you take them off the shells is making it look better, but it's not really changing anything. It just looks better, and when it looks better, you think you can get a better price. Says that the Chacham, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to sort of fake the people out. In this case, you're not really faking them. In this case, it's really what we call marketing, okay? You're just making it look good, and you're not faking anybody. It is what it is. But you're improving the look of it so that you can get a better price, says the Chacham, that's usur. Again, not very capitalistic in our terms. But Divrei Abashol, come out here, come say it's fine. As long as everybody knows what they're buying, they know what they're buying. And people know when they buy something, then this marketing associated, it's not exactly what it is.
umaydim. Everybody agrees. Shlo yover me'alpi amagura she'ena elik agrein v'zayin. If you just shell the top layer, and you leave all the bottom stuff with the shells and the chaff in it, so then clearly you're just trying to cheat. You're trying to sell somebody something which looks like one thing, but really is something else. That's clearly Genevus Das. That, of course, you're not going to do. Another halacha. Tanakhama says, the Allah Mishnah says, in certain situations, we'll see exactly in the Gemara, you're not allowed to make things look nicer than they really are. You're not allowed to pretty them up in a way that that's not the normal way that they look, just so you can get a better price. The Gemara is going to give examples of when it's mutter and when it's also. Says my first halacha. First halacha, he says, you're not allowed to put out candies. Why the Rabbanan say it's mutter? The Chara Tanakhama is right. Says, I gave out nuts. You can give out fruits, plums, the Rashi says. So here it sounds like from the Svar of the Rabbanan that the issue is not between the store and the buyer. The issue is between the various stores. That's not fair that I have, you know, a store that's selling this. I have a store that's selling bread. You have a store that's selling bread. And I'm going to give out candies. People are going to come to my store. It's not fair for the other merchants. And that's what I'm saying. It's plenty fair. Everybody can give out their own little candies and their own different flavors to get the kids to come in. So it sounds like the issue in the Gemara is not between the merchant and the buyer, but it's unfair between the merchants themselves. V'layifchas is a shah. You're not allowed to put things on sale. That's not fair. Says the Chomer Zochar LaToiv. My time at the Rabbanan. Why the Rabbanan? And the Mefarshim say, why they say Zochar LaToiv? You're causing the price to go down. Now, here it depends how you look at it. Between the merchants, that's a bad thing. Right? Between the merchant and the consumer, that's a great thing. So again, we're weighing these two issues over here. Are we looking out for the concern of the merchants, or are we looking out for the concern of the consumer? This is always a trade-off in any type of, you know, capitalistic society. Says the Mishnah, the Gemara, Vayter, V'layavar Greece and the Rabbi Shalcham Matirin, Man Chachamim, why the Chachamim say, you're allowed to shell them? So Rabbi Yachah, the Sani Rabbi Yachah Matir, B'davar Anir, like we said before, as long as you see it, as long as you know what you're getting, and before we talked about tasting the wine, here we're talking about shelled nuts or whatever it is, you can see it, you know what it is, that's it. There's no problem with making it better or worse, as long as the person knows what he's getting. One of these things, we'll see exactly what that is in a second, but you're making behemoth look nicer so that you can get a better price. If you're selling the kishkas of the animal, so you want to blow them up and so they look nice and fat, really it's all air. Right, so you're not allowed to do that. Ooh, this they do, right? If you buy meat nowadays, frozen meat, it always tells you, one says 10%, one says no water, so they're trying to get you one way or the other. But this is what they do. They add a little bit of water, fatten it up a little bit. What is the first halacha? My ein sharbitin. What is sharbitin? Sachar tagima mayo de chizra. So Rashi says this is some kind of meisuvin, some kind of bran water, and they used to give it to drink, and it would make the animal swell up, so the animal looks fatter. Okay? Before the shkita, they would do it for skinning purposes. Here, it's to make the animal swell so it looks fatter. Ziri amarafkana is mazaktifa. It's not something that you give it to eat. It's you're brushing the hair. They're combing the hair on the outside of the animal so it stands up. So again, it looks fatter. However, all those things we said is usr. However, Shmuel shar lemirma tumi lesarbalu. Shmuel says, you can go ahead and take a beged and put little silk ribbons all around it to make it look prettier. Even though the beged itself, you know, who cares about the silk ribbons, right? You're trying to sell a beged. The quality of the beged, you're affecting what it looks like by the silk ribbons. He said, you're allowed to do this. Why? We just said, you're not allowed to make things look nicer. Hold on, we'll explain. He said, you're allowed to go ahead and take this meisuvin, this bran water, and brush it on the beged, which makes it like have a shine or something like that. So that also, he said, you're allowed to do. Rabbi Shari lemedak tzardi. Rabbi says you could take a beged and pull it tight across like a frame, which makes the chutim look very, the strings look very thin, which is higher quality, and that you're allowed to do also. Rabbi Shari letzlume giri. You can make pictures on it, a picture of a sword on the beged, and that looks fancy, like we would call like a logo, you know, a Ralph Lauren logo or something like that. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel Shari letzlume dikula. They used to make a basket full of dekalim, like a picture of it on the beged. So here we see you're allowed to do all kinds of things to make the beged and these things look better. What's pshat? So like Asha, b'chadit yabatiki. Here's the answer. If it's a new beged or it's a brand new thing, you just want to make it look a little bit prettier. That's fine because it's new. But if you take something old and you're trying to sell it as new and fancy, but really it's old, that's Geneva's Das, and that's what you're not allowed to do. Okay, so we understand why, by an animal, we said you want to make it fatter, and it's not fatter, you want to brush its hair. By a beggar, you're trying to stretch it in certain ways. What does it mean by an adam? What does it mean by farchasim by an adam? What are you doing to a person? We're talking about an eved, obviously. So what are we doing? So pichos the adam mahi, kihoda, he's avda, there was an eved, sabo, was an older eved. The azot savi, the ratio dekine, he dyed his hair. So he shouldn't look like he has gray hair and a gray beard, right? He made himself all black. How did he do this? Is he allowed to? Was he a goy at this time? Was he a yid? Is there an isser of dyeing your hair in these halakas? The Mefarshim discussed that halakha, but he did it. Also, commanded the rabbis to sell himself. So Amalei Zimnin, buy me. I'm a strong young guy. So Amalei, Rava said, do me a favor. You ani and b'nei bisach. He said, I prefer to hire poor Jews to do work in my house and give them the money, a stucca, than to hire some Evan Kanani over here. And so Rava avoided the issue. But Askamader of Papa Bar Shmuel Zavne. Papa Bar Shmuel bought him. Yumachada, this quote unquote young Eved, Amalei Ashken Maya, he said, go get me some water. Also, Chavila Rachel Dikney, he spilled water on himself, whatever. He saw that, I guess, that the dye washed off, and all of a sudden he wasn't so young anymore. And he realized he got fooled. So Amalei Chazid, no Koshish Me Avucha. He says, you're old. He says, this guy's older than my father. You're old guy. Kari Anafshi said, that's Pshat in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, Tzadik Mitzora Nelchatz, Rava, the Tzadik, was saved from the Tzora. V'yavar Acher Tachtav, someone else got the Tzora. Rava, see after the Shmai, Rava avoided this issue, and he didn't buy the other because he wanted to do a mitzvah, and Rav Papa over here got stuck. Hadar Nalach, Azav. Okay, as a reward for finishing us off, we have to learn Ezra Neshach, Gavaldi. Says the Gemara. Before we read the start the Mishnah, let's read the Psukim. Okay, it's important to understand all the Psukim that we have over here related to ribis, related to collecting more money for a debt. So the Pasuk says two sets of Psukim. If you have it in front of you, that's fine. If not, I'll just read it to the outside. We have Psukim in Parshas Bahar is the first set of Psukim. It is in Vayikra Chof. Hey, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, all the way at the end. The Pasuk says as follows. I'll read the beginning. It says, if you have a Yid who's poor, you should help him out. How do you help out a Yid who's poor? By giving him a loan. You loan him money. You help him give like loans. So you should help the Yid live. But the Pasuk says, you're not allowed to take from a lav in the Torah. You're not allowed to take from him neshech and tarbis. Neshech is lashon of biting. Tarbis is lashon of gaining money. As we'll see in the Gemara right away, the Gemara looks at the words neshech and tarbis from different perspectives. Neshech is the loss of the loive, and tarbis is the gaining of the malve. Okay, so the Pasuk says it twice. That's what our Gemara is going to focus on today. As kaspecha, then the Pasuk repeats. As kaspecha leisitil lebeneshech, you're not allowed to give him money. Eben Neshech, ubemarbris leisitein ochlecha, and you're not allowed to give not kesef. It says here ochlecha food with marbris. It seems to be the pasuk is splitting up pashup shat neshech and tarbis. One is related to money, and one is related to oichel. And yashamakech b'shesit semeretz. Sam leistochem esetz kanal yosechem avodim. We'll see what this has to do with Eretz Mitzrayim and Yitzias Mitzrayim on Pesach tomorrow. Mitzvah Shem. We'll talk about that. That's the psukim in Parshas Bahar. Now there's another set of psukim. In Dvarim Chav Gimel, let's find those Pesukim in Parshas Ki Seitzei. And over here, the Pesuk says as follows. Pesuk says, Loi sashich lochicha neshech kesef, neshech oichel, neshech kol davar asher yisach. Over here it says the word neshech, 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 again and again and again. And over here it says neshech related to kesef, neshech related to oichel, neshech kol davar asher yisach, whether it's kesef, oichel, or anything. Lo nachri sashich, to a goy, you're allowed. Lochicha loi sashich. So here it doesn't say ribis at all. It just uses the word neshech three different times related to ochel, kesef, and anything else. So that's what our Mishnah is going to focus on. Says the Mishnah, ezu neshech ve'ezu tarbis. Says the Mishnah, the pasuk in we just saw in Vayikra and Bahar seems to differentiate between something called neshech and something called tarbis. So what are these two things? That's Pashup Shari read the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Ezu neshech, so the Pashut is, Hamalva sela behei dinar. A sela is made of 4 dinar. If you lend someone a sela for 4 dinar and he has to pay you back 5 dinar, that's the classic case of neshech. He's paying you back more than he gave you. Or sotayim chitim b'shalish. If you lend him 2 chitim and he pays you back 3 chitim, that's going to be also b'deishu neshech, because you are biting him, you are taking from him, he is losing more than he got. Then the Mishnah says something strange. Ve'ezu tarbis. What is the case of tarbis? Where you're gaining, that sounds like he's not losing, which doesn't make any sense. But we'll see how you read this in the Mishnah. Ezu tarbis. So a marbe b'peiros. So now we get to a situation where it's not a classic loan. And keep this in mind throughout the entire perek. Ribis that we talk about, de'araisa, is always related to a loan. Money. When I lend you something and I expect to get something back. Okay, we'll talk about the value, we'll talk about the object, but it's I'm lending you something. If I'm doing a transaction, that's not a lending. I'm buying and selling, that will never be ribis de'araisa. Okay. The other nekuda that makes something ribis d'araisa, which is important to understand as we go through all the sugyas, it has to be what we call ribis kitzutza. It has to be predefined how much money you're going to pay me back beforehand. If we have a situation where it's not predefined, maybe you'll pay me back more, maybe you won't, depending on the market value, etc. That also, even if it's a loan, that will also not be ribis d'araisa. That might be, in certain cases, ribis d'rabbana. So keep those two halachas in mind. It has to be related to a lending, not to a sale, and it has to be ribis kitzutza, a predefined amount. So what is this case of tarbis? Hamarba bepeiros. If I give you back more fruits, what's the example? The Gemara's Mishnah is a very complicated example that's going to be so complicated we're going to have to spend a whole two daf Gemara trying to figure out exactly what this case is. Not today. So ketzad lokachimenu chitin bediner zov. If I say I want to buy from you chitin. Okay, how much would you like to buy? I'd like to buy a dinar zav, which is a lot of chitim. Hakor, right, it's dinar zav hakor. V'chein hashar, and that's the fixed price. Now, this is important halacha as well. Many times in those days, we do it nowadays, is we prepay for something that we delivered at a later date. Okay, so I'm going to buy from you 100 kilo of wheat, but I don't need it all now. So I want you to deliver it to me 2 kilo a week for the next 50 weeks. And I'm going to pay for it now. Now, it's very possible that the price is going to change over the next 50 weeks. And I'm going to get more or less than I paid for now. So, again, this is a transaction. It's not a loan. But there's an issue over here. I'm giving you money, and you're giving me back more, possibly, than that money I gave you in value. So the halacha is, as we'll see later on, if it was yotza hashar, if the Chazal said, if the market price has been set, in those days they would have a set time and they determined the market price, once they harvested all the crops and they knew the basic qualities, etc., they would set a market price. Once they set the market price, you're allowed to pay now for future delivery based on the market price now. Even if later on the price might change or go up and down, makes no difference. Once you have the market price, and again, we're not talking about a loan, we're talking about a sale, then Chazal sort it. But if you do it before the market is set, then you're going to be in trouble. We'll see about that. Locked in. It's not really locked in because we see it could change, right? We see it could change, but in general, it's locked in. Okay. So says the Gemara. Okay, so no problem. All good. But now, I already paid you. Now you're supposed to deliver it to me, chitin. Now the price of chitin changes. So I say, hey, you know what? You are supposed to deliver me chitin over the next 10 months. I would like all the chitin right now. Because if you give me the chitin now, I could sell it at a profit. Because the price went up. So I paid you 25. I want you to give me the chitin back right now so I can sell it for 30. Now, if you delivered it to me back the chitin right now, that's perfectly fine. Right? I negotiated the price when it was set. You delivered me the chitin of 25. I go ahead and sell it for 30. That's my own problem. That's totally fine. But, Amar Allah, you say, listen, says, you know what? I don't want to give you the chitin now. I didn't get the chitin yet either. I don't have my chitin yet. I ordered my chitin from somebody else. My chitin's not here yet. But I understand what you want because you want to be able to sell the chitin now for 30. Okay, let's pretend you did that. Let's pretend I gave you the chitin and you sold it back to me and now I owe you 30 of chitin instead of 25 of chitin. So think what happened now. The lekech paid 25 and now at the end he's getting 30. Okay, now he didn't get the 30 yet. He says, I'll give it to you ke'ilu et shleishim, v'redecha et sli ben yayin. And instead of giving you the wheat, I'll give you 30 of wine. I don't have that much wheat to give you, whatever it is. I'll give you 30 of wine, v'yayin ein lo. Another point here is, he doesn't even have the wine. But he's willing to give 30 worth of wine. Then the Mishnah says, that is usur. Now, in all the cases we're going to discuss in the entire parak, there's only one tricky thing you have to keep in mind. You need to be able to identify in all these tricky cases, who's the malva, who's the loiva, and what are they lending? Because you have a lot of money moving back and forth in all these different cases, and only one little piece of it is the malva loiva loan case, and the rest of it is just noise around the edge. So it's not clear from this Mishnah yet what this case is. Like I said, in 2 days from now, we'll go through the details of this particular case, and we'll try to figure out exactly who's the malva, who's the loiva, who's borrowing what the isser is. But that's the base case of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara. Clearly, the last case in the Mishnah we just discussed is not a loan. Right? The last case in the Mishnah is a transaction, no question. So why did the Mishnah leave a classic case of Dura'isa and go to Dura'bonim? When the Shavik Leraisa become far from Dura'bonim, when it got to the talking about Tarbis, Michal Dura'isa, the Neshech, the Tarbis, called the Milsi. That means the Tan of the Mishnah holds it, even though it says Ezu Neshech, Ezu Tarbis, on a Dura'isa level, there's absolutely no difference between them. There's no such thing as Neshech without Tarbis, no such thing as Tarbis without Neshech. Why is the Torah use two different words? Not clear, the Torah is just expressing the two sides of the coin. But they're really all one case. There is no separate case. Otherwise, the Mishnah would have said a case like that. Some of our Kroik see Neshech Kesef or Bicycle. The Pasuk seems to say one is referring to money and one is referring to non-money, commodities, when you're borrowing and trading them. Says the Marvat Tisbra, the Ika Neshech play Tarbis for Tarbis play Neshech. Let's assume you're right, that Neshech is referring to foodstuffs and Tarbis is referring to non-foodstuffs. But the word neshech means we're focusing on the loss of the leiva. The word tarbis is focusing on the gain of the malva. Says the Gemara, in normal practical cases, there is no possibility of you having one without the other. Whenever the leiva loses, the malva gains. Whenever the malva gains, the leiva loses. They go hand in hand. And I'll prove it to you. Says the Gemara, one example. I'll give you an example. Let's see if it holds up. Let's say, so I have 100 prutes, and I lend you 100 prutes, cash, and I say you have to pay me back 120. Okay, fine. Meikara kaima mea badanka. Now, the original thing, remember, prutes are nechayshis. Danka is kesef. So we always said you can fluctuate the price, getting back to Azov, between nechayshis and kesef. So when I lent you the 100 prutes, and I told you you have to pay me back 120, okay, those 100 prutas worth a danka, which is a sixth, which is like a ma, Rashi says. Taisa says these numbers don't make any sense with the numbers we talked about earlier in Azov, but leave that alone. Okay, so it doesn't really matter what currency we're talking about. The concept is the same. So it was those 100 worth of danka. Ulbasaif kaima mev yasub danka. When you come to pay me back, a danka is 120 prutas. So in terms of a danka, in terms of a ma kesef, I lent you a ma, you give me back a ma. In terms of what you're actually taking, you took 100 prutas of copper, and you're giving back 120 prutas of copper. So how do you look at that case? Now, this is a fascinating Shailah Hukas Ribbis in general, which is, when you lend somebody something, do you look at the object, or do you look at the value? Now, this could have tremendous afkamina like here, right? So my father's here, and he's going to ask me with dollars and shekel, oh, can you buy this store? Lend me some shekel, I'm going to pay you back dollars. Oy vavoy. Right? Because now you have to figure out the shar and what it changes and what the loan. Is it a dollar loan? Is it a shekel loan? All these kind of complicated things. And this is the source of this. So how do you look at this? It says, well, maybe this would be a case of neshech without tarbis. Because he's lemaisa, I lent you a danka worth of kesef, and I'm getting back a danka of kesef. But from your perspective, you only got 100 coins, and you're giving me back 120 coins. That's the most half a meter. It says, my neshech hika, the kanacha slay, the kashaka minei midi, the layov. It's neshech, he's losing, because you gave him 100 coins, prutas, and he's giving you 120. V'tiber sleka, but from my perspective, lavdafka is that I'm gaining, the leslay rafka, the danka uspe, danka kashaka minei. I gave you a danka worth of coins, and I'm getting back a danka worth of coins. So, well, what are you talking about? Saif, saif, you're just playing vocabulary games. Saif, saif, ibasame karaza, hari neshech, hari tarbis. If you look at the pruta side of things, I gave you 100 prutas, you gave me back 120 prutas, which means you lost 20 prutas, and I gained 20 prutas. Ibasa Saifazis, if you look at the end, where we say a danka was now worth 120, loy neshechika v'loy tabrezika. So I gave you a danka, you gave me back a danka. So there's no case where I gained and you didn't lose, or you lose and I didn't gain. It's just a question, do we look at it as the price at the beginning, or do you look at it at the price at the end? That's the only question. Lamaisa the Paiskim say we look at it at the price at the beginning. We always focus on the price it was when you gave it, not the price when you're collecting. Just keep that in mind. This can be important throughout the parak. Vesu says the Gemara, Tabris b'leishe, how could you have a case where I gain when you don't lose? So I say, here's 100 coins. You owe me 100 coins. Those 100 were worth a danka. When you give it back to me, those 100 are worth much more than a danka, which is a sixth. They're worth a chaimish, which is the fifth. I'm gaining money. So again, if you look at the beginning, I gave you 100 coins. You give me back 100 coins. Nobody gained, nobody lost. Ibasa Saifaz is, if you look at it from the perspective of the silver, Hari Neshek Vaitarbis. I gave you a sixth ma, and you gave me back a ma, which is a sixth, and you gave me back a fifth. So it's the same thing. So there is no case, says the Gemara, of Neshek without Tarbis and Tarbis without Neshek. You're right. From the Torah's perspective, on a Daraisa level, there is no case that you can find me that has one without the other. For like Cholk and Akosev, the only reason the Torah said Neshech Oichel and Tarbis by Kesef, El La'avar Lav B'Shnei Lavin. Torah's telling you it's two Lavin when you lend money. Taisus says, look in Taisus. Just like the pasuk in Kiseisi just uses the word pasuk of neshech, so over here in Behar just say the word neshech again and again. Why does it switch to the word tarbis and get us all confused? Instead of repeating the same word neshech, neshech, neshech in all kinds of different forms, Torah sometimes likes to make it from Lashon Kodesh to use two different words. But enochanami, the two different words have no nafkamina whatsoever, and therefore everything, assuming that it applies everywhere, we're still not sure is the lamaisa. We use the word ribis by oichel, and we use the word neshech by kesef. Does that make a nafkamina? Yes or no? That once Hashem will see tomorrow.